The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning. It's 8 a.m. Central Time here on this Thursday. And, of course, Power Mall is open for those of you who want to call 877-817-9829. If you haven't already ordered anything online, you can do so by just simply making a phone call. Power Hour J is standing by. Now, we have a different J, and we're not talking about Power Hour J here. We're talking about Jay Valentine. He's the guy that led the team that built the eBay fraud engine and the TSA no-fly list, and he currently runs the largest election database in the world with 1.7 billion records. And, of course, we're going to be spending a little time with Jay today. He has a website out, omega4america.com, talking about the Achilles heel of mail-in ballot fraud and other issues. Now, if you've got concerns about anything having to do with the elections and the fact that we're looking at all of these immigrants coming into the country, which we anticipate the government's going to try to make them all legalized voters, And that's what's going to happen. You're going to try to legalize them all so that they all vote somehow. And I think mail-in ballots is going to be part of it. I think even President Trump said something on the road about encouraging people to use the advanced balloting system. Jay's going to clarify this, I'm sure, because everybody's got a concern. The phone lines are going to be open. 844-769-2944. If you have a question for Jay Valentine, good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm hanging in there. We're looking at this, and of course, Americans, I think we got the 80 million out there that are frustrated that they think that the election was stolen. I don't think that we can shake this feeling, do you?
Well, I don't think you're going to shake it, because more and more evidence is coming out that people are able to actually see that's just supporting the fact that there was just so much stuff going on in the election that can't be explained. So, yeah, I just don't think that problem's going away anytime soon.
So this issue that we're having right now with mail-in ballot fraud, and you wrote an article about it, mail-in ballots normally are used by the military and people out of the country to cast votes. But now it appears, I have to use that word, because, you know, the Dominion voting systems and everybody else is going to take issue with anybody that says they're at fault for something. And the concept here that we've been talking about is all of these mail-in ballots being counted multiple times. I mean, is that one of the Achilles heels?
Well, let's just look at what happens with election fraud. So when you're dealing with mail-in ballots, you're dealing with an entity that's very hard to track, and it's very easy to have fraud with mail-in ballots. That's why so few countries around the world use mail-in ballots. And there are two really big buckets of fraud that we find, and we're tech guys, we're data guys. We deal with the data rolls of about 12 or 14 states, all of the swing states. The two big buckets of fraud, Dave, are number one, election commissions, elected election commissions or secretaries of state or people who are elected at the county level who are actually modifying voter rolls during the early voting period to favor one candidate over another, as happened in Arizona and happened in Wisconsin, both of which are swing states. The other is the padding of voter rolls with either fake people or fake addresses or the combination of the two, where you have a real person who is registered to vote at an address where a real person can't live, like a bank or an insurance company.
Wow. So, I mean, but see, you made the old adage about it in Chicago, dead people vote. I mean, they people, you know, dead people were basically, their names were being used to cast votes, whether they were alive or not, or could validate any of this stuff. And I know that, you know, certain individuals I was aware of left one state, called the state or the county supervisor of elections in state number one, said, I moved to state number two. Yet when they checked back, their name was still on the voter rolls in that particular county of the state they just left. I mean, what's up with that? Is that all part of this game plan you're talking about?
Well, sure. So one of the things that we know, and we know this for a certainty because we actually see this in the data, is that leftist groups pad voter rolls, and then they watch those voter rolls illegally because they have a back door, as they had in Wisconsin, for instance, to be able to see who's voted. And then they have a concierge service, and that concierge service is, well, gee, this particular guy hasn't voted. It's 2 days before the election. Ah, let's save him the trouble. We'll go vote for him. And they're doing that at scale. So this is not something that's happening with one half of 1% or 2%. We have live data where we can demonstrate in every state in which we have looked at data, and now that's north of 12 or 14 states, between 5% and 18% of the voter rolls are anomalous. That means either the address is a fake address, or the person's a fake person, or it's a real person at a fake address. So a real person cannot vote from a Manchurian restaurant because they don't have bedrooms and you're not allowed to sleep there, but they are. And we find them in laundromats and vacant lots in Nevada. In one county alone, we found 3,500 people registered to vote from a hotel, another 1,200 from a vacant lot. And that's happening in every county in the United States.
So you're using these people in Vegas voting from a vacant lot. It's all the same address being used on all of these multiple ballots?
No, they use different vacant lots. I mean, for instance, we'll have 12 or 15 at the same vacant lot. But all in all, no, you'll have over 1,000 people. And what we do is we take the voter roll, and then we take the property tax roll. Now, we don't care what the property tax roll says about who owns the building or who's renting an apartment there. We'll even look at that. We look at the year the building was built, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, what kind of business is it? And when we compare the voter roll with the property tax roll, what we find is that the property tax roll says, hey, this building's a bank. But the voter roll says you got 14 people registered to vote from this building. And that's not happening occasionally. That's happening in the tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of voters.
All right. Now, I'm going to say it just you already know this is criminal what they're doing.
Yeah.
Why aren't we prosecuting it, Jay?
Well, there are several reasons we're not prosecuting it. The first reason we're not prosecuting it is because it's really invisible. The reason it's invisible is for 30 years we've been using technology like relational database and SQL that don't have the ability to be able to see this information. Now we're using a technology called fractal analysis where in one click we can take the largest state in the country, California or Texas or New York, and in one click we can show you every single person in every single county who's living at an address that the property tax rolls say is not an eligible legal address from which to vote. You couldn't do that before. So the second part of your question is when we make this data available, which we do in a number of states, nobody does anything about it. And that's true. So even though election integrity teams across the country are coming in with signed affidavits saying at this address, there's supposed to be 12 people registered here according to the voter roll. But we have a signed affidavit from the guy who lives there who says he doesn't know who these other 11 people are and he's lived there 20 years. Guess what? Judge isn't doing anything. Well, the reason for that is because judges, like anybody else, they don't want to get harassed. They don't want to get doxxed. And so you have this media narrative that there's no such thing as election fraud. But there's a change coming. And one of those changes that we're seeing is that individual state legislators in a number of states have come to us and said, we want to run a proof of concept in our state, in our county. And will you run the voter rolls against the property tax roll so we can go in the legislature and show all the other legislators how screwed up our voter rolls are? And we're doing that right now in three or four states. And after that stuff gets published, probably in September, October, we're going to be doing it in 10 or 15 states. So the change is coming here.
Wow. Okay. Well, see, and I always wonder how Fetterslut got elected. And that's because basically the left pumped all these advanced mail-in votes into the Pennsylvania election bases. And this is why he got elected, right?
Well, and Pennsylvania is probably the most egregious example. Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona are really just hotbeds of fraud. And so what we know for sure in Pennsylvania is that a candidate who is a statewide candidate, which would be running for governor, for Senate, or a presidential candidate, could win by 100,000 votes in Pennsylvania. And yet there's easily 400,000 phantoms out there that the left has to bring to bear. So if you're Donald Trump, and if you don't win Pennsylvania by about 600,000 votes, you're not going to win it at all. And the Trump campaign has this absolutely marvelous strategy that they're going to out ballot harvest the left. And that is so preposterous. It's so crazy that they think they're going to do that, because the difference between the left and the Trump people and the MAGA people and the Republicans is that while the Republicans might be able to learn how to ballot harvest, and they're going to try to ballot harvest at a Kiwanis meeting, the Democrats, not the Democrats, but the leftists in both parties, they have the ability to manufacture ballots. And the real power is if you can manufacture ballots, and you can manufacture them by tying fake people and fake addresses to real ballots and have the U.S. Postal Service collecting those ballots for you and giving them to you, which we've proven is happening. If you have that, you can't lose.
So it makes me wonder, because there's been people who apparently are either postal workers or whatever, finding cases of ballots on the side of the road in a ditch or something, and all of a sudden they turn them into the post office. And whether these are manufactured or not, postal inspectors say that they're looking into it, yet we hear nothing about that. Now, have you been doing any follow-up on where the post office is involved in all of this?
Oh, we sure have. And after we were on the Steve Bannon show, we got emails and calls, phone calls, from postal mail carriers, the person who's actually out there with the leather bag going door to door. And they told us a number of things. So one of the things they told us is that during election times, especially presidential elections, they'll take the mail-in ballots from heavily Republican areas and they just throw them away. Those ballots just never even get to the ballot box. But conversely, what they'll tell us, and numerous of them have told us this, is that they will actually go to the apartment complex where a bunch of ballots are laying on the floor. Well, they're on the floor because somebody got a ballot. They don't care about voting. And so they just threw the ballot on the floor because it didn't have a welfare check in it. They collect them. They bring them to the Postal Service main facility. And then they're told to put them in the special location, which they do. And then shortly thereafter, they all disappear. Uh-huh. And they said they disappear because somebody takes them and they give them to the leftists.
Oh, my. Somebody's getting paid inside the U.S. Postal Service, and I'm paying 66 cents for a first class postage stamp for this.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know how much a ballot's worth, but a ballot's $25. So right now, the going rate for to collect a unvoted ballot in an apartment building, at a homeless shelter, at a spoofy address like a bank or an insurance company where the Postal Service will deliver a ballot there knowing there's not a real person for that because it's obviously a bank or a Manchurian restaurant. When they take those ballots, either they will take them or some drug addicted homeless guy will do it. $25 a ballot. That's pretty good money when you start multiplying that by a few hundred ballots.
It's all under the radar too. So nobody really knows and can't pin it on the homeless guy because he went, it's like these people that go to the blood bank and donate, you know, for plasma and whatnot and get paid because this is how they exist and they do it by any means possible, which is really sad. Tim in Michigan, you're on the phone with Jay Valentine. Go ahead.
Michigan is implementing all new voting procedures, and they're putting a ton of pressure on the county clerks. And the county clerks are all, from what I understand, and my mother is involved with the township, that the county clerks are giving up and saying, we're not going to be part of this because it's so iffy and their butts on the line for all these votes. They're going to have 30 days of early voting. They're going to have 9 days of voting. And these clerks, what do they do with the votes? How do they do it? Nothing has been figured out. And it's going to be the biggest scam in Michigan that's ever come around. I don't know how this is going to end up, but the whole idea of the clerks are giving up. They're not going to want to be a part of this because it's going to be way too much pressure. And legally, they're obligated to these votes, and they can be prosecuted easily. They're getting scared and they're leaving. Any comment?
So what Tim talks about is chaos. And chaos is absolutely where leftists live. So I have no doubt we've done Michigan. We've run the data in Michigan, and we work with a great voter integrity team there. It's one of the best in the country. But what's happening in a situation like this is that the Republican or the even Democrat honest people who are the county commissioner, county voter person, they'll throw up their hands and just say, this is too much, I'm overwhelmed, et cetera. But the leftists will take advantage of that. That's what they want to see. They want to see chaos. Because when there's chaos, like there was during the COVID thing, that's where these guys thrive. So yeah, I can tell you right now, in Michigan, you're going to see all kinds of voter fraud again, because it certainly happened in 2020, and you're going to see it in 2024.
Okay, Tim, thanks for your call. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Jay Valentine. Go ahead.
Good morning. Sure, this is more on the judge's part of it when somebody contests an election. Are you familiar with the Brager Report? I heard a guy, Dave Hodges from Arizona, has been talking about this a lot.
No, we're involved in the data side of this and doing election rolls for state legislators. That's pretty much where we draw the line.
Well, what the Brager Report is, and he said this is implications in like 26 states, and it was presented to the Arizona legislature, and they actually took the lady who was an elected representative, and they drummed her out of their body. But this involves the cartels, a lot of real estate graft. Dave, are you familiar with the Brager Report?
I haven't seen it. No, the thing I'm familiar with, Sherry, most is that people go to court, they try to insist that something wrong is going on, much like Sidney Powell and everybody else that you know of that are getting beat up, and they're coming after them, trying to disbar them. Anybody that wants to complain that there's election fraud going on, they're getting retaliated against by the courts, which makes me think that they've gotten to the judges. Jay, would that be a fair statement?
Well, we certainly have evidence that that is the case. And let's just define what the word gotten means. So when we're talking about judges, what we are seeing is that there is this massive, overwhelming pressure on courts not to investigate voter fraud. What you see is you will see judges and you will see investigations, and they will go all around voter fraud and they will stop at the point where they're actually going to really investigate it. And we have a case in point. So I was an expert witness. I was brought in as an expert witness for the John Eastman trial. He's the guy in California who's one of Trump's lawyers, and they're trying to disbar him because he said there was election fraud. So I was an expert witness. They brought me in, and their leftist lawyers were deposing me through a Zoom call. So the guy was deposing me, and he said, well, was there election fraud in 2020? And I go, well, yeah, of course there was, all over the place. Well, how do you know that? Well, I have the data. I have the data for 14 states, and I'm looking at it, and I just run the report, and I can see how many people voted who weren't supposed to vote. Well, it wasn't enough to impact the election, was it? Well, yeah, it certainly was. Well, how would you prove that? Well, I would just log on to my system. I would run one query in any state, any swing state, and the query would be, show me all the people who voted in 2020 who the tax records show voted from an ineligible address. And when I hit the enter, it will show anywhere from 10,000 to 100,000 in every single swing state. So I know that there was massive election fraud and it impacted the election. They moved heaven and earth to make sure I was not a witness in that case. So they took me out as a witness and they came after me big time. Nobody wants to look at this stuff, Dave. And what we're doing that's different is people come out with these weird algorithm stories and they come out with these weird statistical stories. And they may be true, they may not be true, but they're so darn hard to understand that people's eyes glaze over. What we do is very different. We're taking the election rolls from a state. We're taking the property tax rolls, which are the most pristine rolls. They have guys driving around in cars all day to see if you built a lean-to on your property, and they're going to give you a bill if you did. So their rolls are pristine. And when we compare them, as we're doing in, you know, a dozen states around the country, you would think they came from two different states. And I mean, I'm not just talking about leftist states. I'm talking about the most Republican states in the country. The voter rolls are abhorrent. And now we're showing it with real data that you can log on and you can actually see it. And I'm presenting this to state legislatures around the country over the next 3 or 4 months. They brought us in and said, look, run our voter rolls. And we're doing it. And it's incredible.
And you're finding evidence of this on an ongoing basis.
It's not just on an ongoing basis. Remember, we go back. So in states like Wisconsin, we have data dating back to 2006. So not only is it on an ongoing basis, but it's on a historical basis. This didn't just start in the last 18 months. This didn't just start when Donald Trump ran for re-election in 2020. This stuff's been going on for 30 years.
So they're trying to reshape
the
country.
Dave, could I make one more comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
According to Dave Hodges and I guess the Brager Report, what they do is they start bribing these lawyers that they're setting up to be judges before they become judges. And then they appoint them as judges and they get these cases. He says that. And he said this is going on in 26 states. So you ought to look into that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, but this is the thing. When you're talking about the judiciary being set up to become part of this fraud, that's when our justice system, where we can't trust it, when the judges start becoming so obviously biased that they don't want to, like, for example, what Jay was just talking about as an expert witness. And I'm looking at this on the legal side of things, being a paralegal and understanding how depositions work. They could take and twist anything to try to impeach the witness, which is exactly what I think they tried to do to you, Jay. And then when that didn't work, then they try intimidation tactics. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it is. And that was just one example, the most, you know, personal one. But what we're seeing across the country, because we work with voter integrity teams in many of the states, and what we're seeing is they go in, they show prima facie evidence. So we have an example in Georgia where they went in with 37,000 affidavits or affidavits about 37,000 fake voters. Now, these are signed, sworn affidavits and brought them in. And I mean, I know the people who did it and they're very reputable. And the stuff they showed was clearly preposterous. There was no way in the world that voters lived at these addresses or those voters did. And judge refused to do anything. And that's why what we've said is that for 2024, you need to have a different strategy. And that's what we mean by the Achilles heel. The Achilles heel of all this voter fraud stuff through mail-in ballots is the address. So what happens is Mike Lindell and these voter integrity teams, they're all going after people. You can't go after people. You can't say Bill Jones at this address is fake, because they'll come up with a real Bill Jones and they'll tie him to an address and you're going to get a lawsuit. We do it very differently. We create something called the undeliverable ballot database. It's a list of every property in the county, every single property, whether it's taxed or untaxed, whether it's a vacant lot or a building, whether it's a single family home or a multifamily home. And it will tell you this address can receive no mail at all. It is a vacant lot, and yet it's got 12 voters there. How are they getting mail-in ballots at a vacant lot? This address can receive mail, but it can't receive a ballot because it's a bank. So it can get mail, but it can't get a ballot. And it goes on and on and on so that we profile every single address. So what we're doing is we're enabling in Wisconsin and in a number of states, we're enabling so that the county clerk can literally look and see all of the locations that are going to get a ballot under current law. But those ballots are ineligible, and you can stop this stuff now, a year before the election, not 6 months after the election, where you have to worry about whether a judge will look at it, knowing, of course, that they won't.
Well, here's the thing. Mike Lindell was on with all these podcasters for about an hour, ranting and raving about, we've got a new system, and he sounded like a pitchman, like Mike does when he's doing MyPillow. And the thing is he's been picked on by Dominion voting systems as well as the feds because of his assertions. The thing that gets me is, based on what you said, this sounds very much like the solution factor that Mike Lindell was talking about. He didn't want to actually unzip the fly, so to speak, and tell everybody what the solution was. But he said, we have a way to save America's election system. The thing that I'm looking at, if you're going to solve this, it looks to me as if the sheriff of the county, each county in the state, who has a constitutional duty to protect the integrity of our election system, as well as to keep crimes from being prevented. You would think that if you have hundreds of people calling the sheriff's department saying, this is going on, here's your evidence, what more do you need? And the sheriff doesn't do anything about it. Then the chickens come home to roost politically, so to speak, and the sheriff gets exposed for dereliction of duty. I mean, this is how, I mean, what do you see voters being able to do in their own counties to stop this crap from happening?
Well, the first thing is we the whole industry has been really set back by a lot of the stuff that Lindell and his group have done. And we really like Mike, and Mike is a good-hearted guy and all, but he's really surrounded himself with real knuckleheads. He ended up losing a $5 million bet on whether his data was true data or not. I mean, you cannot expose yourself to such terrible things and have any credibility thereafter. So we like Mike, but you know, it's just terrible what's happened to him. But what we're seeing is, with the undeliverable ballot database, is you now have the ability to literally publish addresses. So you cannot legally publish a list of all the scam voters in your county, because you're going to get one or two of them wrong and you get a lawsuit.
Yeah, there you go. We're at the break, Jay. We're going to be right back with Jay Valentine, if you'll stay with us. Be back at 32 minutes after the hour. Be right back.
They had a zinc product that they thought could help, and they did. Not only is zinc amazing for skin healing, it has helped with his neurological behavioral. Somebody is considering taking that zinc and copper, and if, you know, they have a child who struggles with behavioral or neurological aspects, what I found out is that zinc is critical for the natural creation of neurotransmitters. And if you don't have enough neurotransmitters, you can have neurological and therefore behavioral effects that you do not want in your child. Grown by Nature, zinc and copper formula, it helped us now figure out things that will help him for his future.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give.
Thirty-two minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time. For those of you joining us here on this Thursday, Dave Krieger with you here on the Power Hour. We have Jay Valentine, who is with us in our last segment, and we were talking about the Achilles heel of mail-in ballot fraud. During the break, I was sitting there pondering some questions in my backyard because we have expertise in certain things in assisting attorneys in foreclosure litigation, and this involves foreclosure defense. Homeowners trying to save their homes. We know that in the 2008 debacle that went on for years and years, probably like around 2016, when we were looking at, the height of the foreclosure crisis coming to an end, we were looking at the number of foreclosed homes where 97.5% of those served with foreclosure notices up and vacated their homes. Was it possible that these people got mail-in ballots delivered to their mailboxes knowing they weren't there, that they'd been foreclosed on and mail was piling up? Is it possible that that's another way that these scammers would go out and just pilfer mail of foreclosed homes?
Well, sure. What remember, a ballot has a $25 bill attached to it. So anytime you can find a loose ballot, particularly in heavily urban areas as opposed to rural areas, you're going to have organized groups of people who are out there collecting them. Why do you think that the leftists are pushing so hard to have mail-in ballots? Well, the reason is because mail-in ballots are loose. And mail-in ballots accumulate. And where do they accumulate? Well, they'll accumulate in the types of residences you just described. They'll accumulate in every apartment building where a person has not put his or her unit number on there. So we found, using the undeliverable ballot database, that there's an apartment building. That apartment building has 100 people in it. Well, 16 of those people in the apartment building don't have their unit number, which means that that ballot is going to either get thrown away in the mailroom, or the postal person is going to bring it back to the post office. And when they do, that's going to get collected and sent to some leftist group. There might be another six people at that apartment building, and those six people live ostensibly in the maintenance facility, which has a mailing address because it's going to get mail for the lawn service. But there are no bedrooms there, yet it has registered voters there. We find that there will be a house that has 800 square feet of living space, according to the tax record. Well, guess what? It's got 14 people living there. Well, guess what else? The county health authority says you cannot have more than 400 people, adults, in every 500 square feet of living space. Well, we test for that. So we measure every square footage for every single family home in the county. And if you've got 14 people or more per 500 square feet, we're obviously going to flag that. So this is happening everywhere, Dave. It's industrial scale. It is organized, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year.
Well, if the sheriff is not going to stop it, because to me, as far as the county level is concerned, every county's got a supervisor of elections. Every county's got a central mail facility. What do we do to curtail this behavior? I mean, do you think the sheriff is going to listen and actually go out and do something?
Well, it's not a national solution. It's a county by county solution. So let's just look at different counties. So in some counties where we're operating, even in California, we're actually working with a group in California of five counties. They have the sheriff's department involved directly, and we're going to be doing the work for five counties, looking at their voter rolls versus their tax rolls. And the sheriff has already met with us several times through Zoom calls and is looking to prosecute people. And when we start showing this kind of thing, and remember, we don't just solve for voter fraud anymore. We've added the FEC rolls, Federal Election Commission. So when you see James O'Keefe knocking on a door and he says, hey, pal, you made 5,000 donations of $50 or less in the last 6 months. And the guy looks at him and says, I have no idea what you're talking about. That's called contribution mule. Well, the way we find that is we downloaded a quarter of a billion records from the FEC. We run those on our system with a single click in any state in the United States. I can show you every contribution mule that's out there. Well, we're working right now with attorneys general in three states where we're showing the attorney general this kind of thing. And let me tell you, they never had these analytical tools before. So part of your question is, well, will sheriff take action? Well, no, in the past, because it's hugely hard to find this. It's hugely hard to prove it, but not now. So now we're working with sheriffs, we're working with attorneys general, we're working with individual state legislators who are bringing us in to run their state voter rolls, and we're giving them the tool to make this stuff visible. And it's not some algorithm that nobody can understand. It's not some statistical third standard deviation from the mean that you have to be a college educated econometrics guru to understand what that means. This is live data showing. Your property tax roll is proving prima facie that you have voters voting from illicit addresses. This was never possible before because the technology wasn't there. But with fractal analysis, we can do it with a single click for every county in America.
This is Project Omega that we're talking about here, and you're educating state legislatures on how this disruptive new technology can compare any and all state databases against each other in real time. So we have seen minimal prosecutions in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, for example, where maybe a handful, and maybe a couple in Florida, where only a handful of people have been prosecuted thus far for harvesting ballots. Do you see this going up? Do you see an increase in it?
Well, we have a very different opinion. Now, we have deep background in insurance fraud. So we once ran a company that did the insurance fraud work for Geico, State Farm, most of the major insurers. And we learned something there that's very relevant to your very insightful question. And that is prosecution what we really want to do? The answer is it's not. What we learned from the insurance fraud thing was that when you can identify an organized fraud ring, a bunch of doctors working with a bunch of chiropractors, a bunch of lawyers, and together they're organizing these fraud rings where these homeless people get in cars and get in small fender bender accidents, and then they put in all these BS claims, right? That's what happens in that. Well, we ended a lot of that with a lot of our technology years ago. It's the same thing in the voter roll. You don't really want to spend your time prosecuting 400,000 people in Pennsylvania. It's just never going to happen. But you don't need to. All you need to do is expose it. Once you publish the list of every address in Pennsylvania that is a legal address but has illegal voters there, and you don't publish their names, but you show this Manchurian restaurant's got 12 guys, this apartment building's got 62 people who are registered in the maintenance facility, this vacant lot in Arizona has 1,200 people. You don't tell them who the people are because you don't have to. You're just saying it's there. If somebody wants to deny it and say, well, that's not true, you have prima facie evidence it's true. That's how you stop this stuff. You stop this organized industrial fraud by exposing the addresses, tying them to the number of illicit voters there, and you can shut this stuff down. Because when you expose this, you freeze it. That's the solution. That's why addresses and address management is the Achilles heel for voter mail-in ballot fraud.
So I've got this all wrong, because I was telling people to go to where the drop boxes were and sit on those things during the election cycle to make sure that nobody shows up with a big basket of stuff out of the trunk of their car and then show up at their backside, you know, sneak up on them as they're trying to deposit all these into the ballot box with a baseball bat and let justice be done. So I guess that's all wrong. I mean, the thing is I'm wondering how many people would actually look at that list of addresses and go there trying to do their own little investigation to expose what's happening. Are you involving local media, or are they part of this narrative of corruption?
Well, we're not working as much with media. Remember, we're data guys. We're not activist guys. So we're working with people who are working with media. But to your earlier point, the issue about standing next to a ballot drop-off box when the guy comes by with a bag of 50 ballots, the issue is not that the guy came by with 50 ballots. The issue is, what are you going to do about it? The ballots have been cast. It's after the election. That ballot just got cast. You have to solve this problem on an ongoing basis every single day. So why not, in any state in the union, sit down with conservative Republican and Democrat, conservative legislators in every state as citizens? This is happening right now in Texas. This is happening in a bunch of states where they're working with our technology to do this. And they're sitting down with these Republicans and they're saying, hey, pal, look at this. In our voter rolls here in Texas, here in Bexar County, or here in Harris County, or here in Williamson County, look, here we have a fraternity house. This fraternity house in Austin, Texas, has 150 students there. But guess what? 65 of them are over 70 years old and they're voting. This is the kind of stuff going on in your voter roll. Nobody could see this before. We're making it visible. And let me tell you something. Legislators are very entrepreneurial people. They want to get elected. They want to find something no one else found. And we're sitting down with them in state after state after state. They're calling me. I'm not calling them. So we got calls from legislators in Nebraska, in Alaska, in Wisconsin. It goes on and on. I mean, 12 or 14 different states have called. I'm doing a demonstration to Virginia legislators next week. And it's never their legislature. It's two people. It's one person. It's three people. And when you show them this, their hair goes on fire. And they said, you're telling me that you can create a list for the state of Virginia, and you can show me in the state of Virginia every address that's a physical business location, and you can show me demonstrably that it has no bathrooms and no bedrooms, so nobody can live there, and yet it's got votes coming out of it. Say, yeah, with a single click, we can do that. Your official voter roll compared with your official property tax roll, compared with your official FEC election roll, compared with your official PPP, payroll protection program roll. With one click, you can see all of this stuff and you can take action with it. That was never possible before. And we do it every single day.
I'm just wondering whether people would continue, even if you publish these lists, just to be brazen enough to just defy what you're doing and just say, we don't care. We're going to go harvest the ballots anyway.
Well, they're going to do it. Well, they're certainly going to do it. But the problem is, all of a sudden, you're going to have, we already are seeing it in state after state, you're going to have legislators are taking action because there are way too many people who are saying, well, wait a minute, this isn't some algorithm I can't understand from some PhD. This isn't some weird statistical thing that I really don't understand. This is like going on in my neighborhood. So I'm going to my state legislator and with my hair on fire, I mean, really angry people, and saying, you have to take action here. Well, let me tell you, that's happening everywhere because the world has changed now. Before, when you were talking statistical analysis, nobody cared. You're talking these algorithms, it's too hard to understand. It may be true, but who can understand an algorithm operating somewhere deep in some data file somewhere? Who can understand that? And who can take action? You can't prove that. You need a PhD. We're talking about the kind of stuff you can prove with a Big Chief tablet and a crayon. When you get to that level of data analysis, which is where we are right now, people are taking action, and they're taking action big time in a number of states.
Well, so the thing is there's a lot of news reports being bandied about how they're going to use artificial intelligence, AI, to steal the upcoming election. Your thoughts
on artificial intelligence? It's just, you know, let's just take this artificial intelligence stuff and put it in context, okay? Our team are MIT artificial intelligence guys for 35 years, all right? We run the fastest artificial intelligence system known to man at 200 million transactions per second. Fractal programming is something used by electric utilities all across the country to use artificial intelligence to monitor their transformers because they blow up in the middle of the night because people hooked up their two electric vehicles in their garage and the transformer didn't know they were there. So when it comes to artificial intelligence, we have built the artificial intelligence address matching system for the whole United States being used by commercial companies, and we apply artificial intelligence here. So when people want to say that the 2024 battle is going to have artificial intelligence, we're like, yeah, okay, we'll play that field in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I had to throw that out there, Jay. I know, you know, when you start playing around with this kind of a system, and it is technology, but the thing is that you fine-tune the technology to actually hone in and do comparisons of various databases to try to match and basically prove that voter fraud is indeed happening. Brady in Vegas, thanks for holding. You're on with Jay Valentine. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. You got to ask yourself, you know, from poll pads to No Ink Incorporated to Dominion Voting Service to your ballot harvesting before the election, after the election, and during the election, the ballot boxes itself that they have everywhere where people can drop off boxes. Where does that all come down to? One entity is involved with every single thing that I just mentioned, and it's the U.S. Post Office. I want to know who behind the post office, behind the scenes, is working with George Soros and the Democrat Party. Well, nobody's ever did it, and everybody, not one audit was done of the post office. Let's just take, for example, Jesse Morgan. Hours after the election ended, here this guy's delivering 500,000 ballots. They looked at it and said, not a big deal. You got a problem with the ERIC voting system, which the voting rolls are done upon. They haven't been updated. You got how many millions of dead people that voted in all the elections. And here in Vegas and Arizona, I'm a dual resident. We don't even vote anymore. We will not vote until they have a in-person voting. When you show a ballot, a paper ballot, maybe give them 2 or 3 days. But what they did for COVID when they instituted the ballot harvesting and all these programs, especially you got an open border. You got 40 million Democrats crossing through this into this country. You want to talk about a voter roll system? Until you close that border, they come in, they go to the DNC or the DMV, they get their driver's license, and they're registered into the ERIC voting system. Well, never. You can go count all the people living in the houses here, say like in Vegas. I know plenty of places where 15 or 16 people live, and they probably have 300 or 400 votes that go through that same address. I pointed it out to the county. I followed the ballot harvesters around my neighborhood and said, get the hell out of here. You know, I was on it pretty good. And again, all this stuff was presented like Mike Lindell in Arizona for the Kerry Lake fraud thing. They don't care. You even proved it to them during the when they were doing the investigation. You had ballots that they could print on spot. That's called No Ink Incorporated and poll pads. That's where all your fraud is.
Well, Brady, thanks for the recap. Jay, have a new American Thinker article out about why Kerry Lake couldn't close the deal. What Brady is saying, it appears legitimate. Your thoughts?
Well, the caller is right on target. There's no question about that. We actually ran Washoe County, which is one of the two big counties in Nevada.
Reno, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there's thousands of people living in hotels and all that. So yeah, I mean, Nevada is one of the worst states out there. And there's no effort to clean those voter rolls out there, except by some really good voter integrity teams who are doing great work. But the point that he makes about the U.S. Postal Service is true. And this is not something that is a subject of any question. I mean, we have person after person from the U.S. Postal Service talking about the fact that they indeed do collect the ballots. They are told to bring them back to the main location. Those ballots are then given to a group that they think should be investigated. And just this week, if you Google it, you're going to see that they've just changed or added people to the management, the board of the U.S. Postal Service, and they are organizing them in 2024, not under the table, but they are organizing the Postal Service in 2024 for this whole ballot delivery, ballot pickup, thus ballot harvesting process. So now you've got a Postal Service with 560,000 employees, and those guys are getting stepped up by their management to help the Democrats beat Trump in 2024. So, I mean, you've got your hands full out there.
Well, what about all of these illegal immigrants coming into the country that get, like Brady says, get driver's licenses and stuff? I mean, half of these illegal immigrants are staying in temporary shelters. I mean, you obviously have a way to track that using your system, don't you?
Well, again, we show the same thing. Where do you house illegal voters? Where do you house them? Well, we know the answer to that question. Okay. So what we will show, and we show this in many counties, particularly in the southern states and the western states, is they get housed in churches. So you find a location that's a church. And in the old days, you would call the church up and the church would say, hey, leave me alone. Yeah, I got 100 people registered here, but this is their address because they are migrants. They are transients. And that was okay. Well, we didn't accept that. We took a step back and said, well, wait a minute. How many bathrooms do you have at that church? How many bedrooms do you have? And now we can compare that with the county tax records, and we can compare that with the county health department. And now we give you a tool, if you're a voter integrity team, to be able to say, wait a minute, you cannot have as a legal address a church that has no bedrooms, that has one bathroom, and has 100 people there. You can't do that anymore. So we expose that kind of stuff. Remember, in our world, exposing the addresses that cannot house voters, yet they are housing voters, is the key. And what we're doing is we're using one government record, the voter identity file. We're using a second government record, the personal property tax file. We're using a third government record, the health department regulations, and we're showing they don't reconcile. So you have lots of choices here. You can go to the health department and close that church down for having all those people. You can go, well, you can. I mean, it sounds funny.
Yeah. It's a pretty genius idea, Jay.
Every time the health department wants to mess up somebody's hair for having too many people in an address, you go to the health department and say, well, wait a minute. You have one set of regulations for 40 people living in a friggin' church. You have another set of regulations for 5 older adults living in a very small home. Which is it going to be? Now we're giving you the tools to start throwing wrenches into this finely tuned machine the leftists have been running for 40 years.
Wow. Incredible. Jay Valentine, thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time for today, but man, just keep up the great work. We're loving it. I love everything. See, it's all about solutions here on the Power Hour, folks. We will be back tomorrow with our, what people want to call our Feel Good Friday edition. But in the meantime, God bless you. God bless what's left of the United States of America. Only you can do something about it, like Jay Valentine is. Thank you, sir, for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarisp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.